Patriots fans, you are now locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast. All of you Foxborough faithful, welcome back to the dark side. That's right, Patriots Nation, episode 2 of my interview with Jay Soderberg, the Pod Vader himself, here on this Thursday episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast, your daily home for news, notes, and analysis, infused with the occasional opinion, on your 6-time Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. My name is Mike DeBate, your host of the Locked On Patriots podcast, which of course is a proud part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And folks, because it's your team every day, that means your questions, comments, and feedback are always welcomed and always appreciated. Feel free to share that feedback with me anytime by reaching out to me and following me on Twitter at MDABATEFPC. And while you're out there dissecting the Twitterverse, please be sure to follow the Locked On Patriots account as well at LO_Patriots. Patriots fans, today is Thursday, June 4th, 2020, and the Empire Strikes Back. That's right. It was so nice, we had to do it twice. Today here on the pod, I welcome Jay Soderberg back to the hot seat. And Jay has been forcing us all to delve into the dark side, maybe a little more than we'd like to here in Patriots Nation. And Jay certainly has some interesting expectations for your New England Patriots this year. Bit on the sobering side, folks. His outlook, not quite as optimistic as mine is. But you know what they say, folks. Variety is the spice of life. It's nice to get all different types of opinions. And as I said yesterday here on Locked On Patriots, whether I agree with Jay's opinion or not, I know it's coming from a place that's well-informed and accurate. And if you listened to yesterday's pod, you know that Jay did not hold back. We talked extensively about our concerns with the Patriots' offensive line. Believe it or not, folks, I'm in agreement with much of what Jay had to say about the O-line. That definitely is a concern of mine, and we certainly hope that we're on the wrong end of that spectrum. After all, the Patriots Brain Trust, they're probably in a better position to determine what's best for their football team. But we closed yesterday's pod by Jay giving us his expectations of what the Patriots' final record will be in 2020. And folks, it wasn't pretty. Jay doesn't only have the Patriots finishing sub-500, but he also raises the possibility that they may not only end up in the cellar in the AFC East, but maybe even in the league and have a shot at that number one draft pick. And I agree, folks, not a very happy ending. But you didn't really think that I was going to let Jay get away that easily and not explain himself a little bit further. Well, that's why he's back here today for episode 2. I will ask my fearless leader to expound upon some of the metrics he used to arrive at his conclusion. And last but certainly not least, we'll wrap up our two-parter with the Pod Vader himself by getting his opinion on the new Patriot Jedi that just might be poised to save Patriots Nation. So settle in, folks, an action-packed episode once again here on the Locked On Patriots podcast. And Jay Soderberg and I will continue our voyage through the dark side in just one moment. However, before I bring Jay back in for his second tour of duty on the hot seat, I'd be remiss if I did not mention that late Tuesday evening, your New England Patriots, specifically the Kraft family, issued a statement that to some was overdue. But facts be told, they did end up making it. And the sentiments behind this statement do their best to reflect what I think all of us are feeling right now. Tension, fear, anger, disappointment. But it also calls upon us to be better human beings. And regardless of what your own opinion on the statement may be, and that's subjective, that's up to you folks, I'm not here to tell you right or wrong how you should feel about the statement, not just made by the Kraft family, but really by any athlete, entertainer, or anyone with a public forum. Ultimately, for a statement to make any impact, it has to speak to you, and there was one point in the statement that did speak to me directly. First, I'll read that statement to you in its entirety, and I quote, "Over the last several days, we have tried to listen, learn, and reflect. We have been at a loss for the appropriate words, perhaps because there are none to adequately describe the horrific incidents of the last few weeks. It is impossible for us to comprehend what happened to George Floyd or the pain his family must be feeling. a pain that resonates with so many others who have lost loved ones in similar brutalities that were not captured on video for the rest of the world to see. We cannot begin to understand the frustration and fear members of our Black community have faced for generations. Recent events have shined a light on a topic that demands much more attention. Our country needs deep healing. We don't have the answers, but we do know that we want to be a part of the change. As leaders in the New England community, we must speak up. Here is where our family and our organization stands, and folks, by that he means the Kraft family and the New England Patriots organization. Again, quote, "We are horrified by the acts of racism we've witnessed. We are heartbroken for the families who have lost loved ones, and we are devastated for our communities of color who are sad, who are exhausted, who are suffering. We know that none of the sadness, exhaustion, or suffering is new. We know it is systemic. Our eyes, ears, and hearts are open. Our family has a long history of supporting vulnerable people in our communities and advocating for equality. But past efforts don't mean anything until we all stand on equal footing in America, so we must act in the present and not simply rely on what we've done in the past. There remains much work to be done. We will not rest on statements because words without actions are void. Rather, we will work harder than ever before through our philanthropy, community engagement, advocacy, and supporting the work of all of our players to build bridges, to promote equality, to stand up for what's right, and to value all people," unquote. Again, regardless of your opinion on the statement, I think we can all agree that it is a powerful one by the Krafts. Speaking only from my personal experience and dealings that I've had with the New England Patriots organization, I have always sincerely believed that this is an organization that values equality, fairness, and a desire to do all they can to help those in need. Again, I speak from my own personal experience. But folks, we've been reading statements like this all over social media for the last week, and I am in no way lessening the impact of these statements. They're a very effective way in helping to spread the sentiments we all need to hear right now. Statements like the one that the Kraft family have made will only fall flat if not backed up with adequate action. Now for me, and again, I speak from a personal standpoint, that action would be activism through peaceful protest. I said earlier this week that I don't condone violence of any kind, but there was something in the opening few lines of the Kraft family statement that really hit home to me. There were words like impossible for us to comprehend, cannot begin to understand, and at a loss for appropriate words. And those words made me examine a lot within myself, particularly my stance on nonviolence. Once again, I will never condone violence under any circumstances. But the words of the Kraft family made me realize that I am extremely fortunate to have never been put in a position where I had no choice but to wonder whether or not my nonviolent stance was ever going to work. And that made me sad, because that has to change. So many of our fellow Americans, our fellow humans, have to make these difficult choices every day. They're choices I don't understand. But just because I don't understand them now, doesn't mean I can't understand them. That's how I plan to make my change. I can't speak intelligently on these matters until I understand all the sentiments and the history behind them. The only way for me to do that is to educate myself and be a willing ear to listen to those that have gone through it. Let's face it, folks, we all want a better future, but we're not going to get there unless we all start listening to our hearts, opening our ears and minds, and using an informed voice to bring about the change we want to see in the world. We have a long way to go on that, but I am encouraged by a lot of the sentiments that I've seen lately. That includes what I'm seeing from members of the Patriots team itself. Devin and Jason McCourty on their weekly podcast discussed a lot of these issues and expressed hope that mini camps, which will take place this summer, will be a great opportunity for teams to come together and have these difficult discussions. Each individual uses his or her strength to build a strong team. Each team then uses its strength to build a stronger coalition. Eventually, our collective strength can lead us to build a better future, a better society. But it starts inward, recognizing your strength as an individual and recognizing those that are in need right now. That's how I plan to help. First, lending a helping ear so that I can lend a helping voice to those that need it most right now. In a much lesser sense, that's how your New England Patriots built a dynasty. Let's build a dynasty in society this time, folks. As one race, the human race, we're stronger together than we'll ever be apart. Patriots fans, episode 2 of my interview with the Pod Vader himself, Jay Soderberg, will begin in just a moment. But first, summer is here, and if you're like me, that's the time where you want your ride looking as best as possible. But especially in the aftermath of this social distancing, your ride might have been feeling a little neglected lately and might need an improvement or two. Well, that's where RockAuto.com can help you get the ride you want this summer. And they can help you do so affordably. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. But RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing the prices based on what the market will bear. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. They are a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. RockAuto.com. Amazing selection. Reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Patriots fans, we continue our discussion with Jay Soderberg, the Pod Vader himself. And Jay, we voiced our concerns about the offensive line, and we're very like-minded when it comes to that. You also provided your prognostication on the Patriots' outcome for the 2020 season. And with all due respect, Pod Vader, your assessment was a little on the dark side. Sorry, I couldn't resist. But anyway, you had mentioned a record of 6-10 as a potential for the Patriots. And I'm not necessarily refuting that. You made some pretty good arguments, especially about the teams they're going to be facing. I've taken a little bit more of an optimistic approach. I'd say 8-8 is realistic. 9-7 could be a possibility. Anything more than that, I think, is going to be a reach. But you're not just interested in being the voice of doom and gloom, Pod Vader. No, no, no. Again, you're interested in being realistic, and I respect that. In addition to your game-by-game analysis of the schedule, you've put together some great metrics, and I was hoping that you could share some of those with our listeners here at Locked On Patriots today. And they really are fascinating metrics, folks. That's where Jay's basing this opinion from. I was hoping that you could take us into a deeper dive of those metrics and help Patriots fans to understand that a 6-10 prediction may not be as far off as maybe we want to believe.
Yeah, so one of the things I like to do during this time before training camps start to open is I like to do game by game predictions for the entire NFL, every single game, pick a winner and a loser. It gives me sort of an idea of exactly where I'm viewing each team and how I see their strengths. Now, the FBI from ESPN does the exact same thing, except they do it with a computer and they do 1,000 different simulations. And there are other places that do this as well. The problem with these is that a lot of that information is based off of the previous season. And it's like those commercials, past performance is not indicative of future results. And of course, there's obviously a lot of changes, especially on this particular team. And that biggest one being the quarterback. But as I go through and I look at the Patriots schedule, I look at them, and just as a reminder, I see them as coming out at 6-10. Now, in that 16 games, only three games where I think the Patriots are locks to win the game, where I think that, yes, there's obviously always a chance to lose any given Sunday, but I see their chances of winning as being greater than their chances of losing. And that is their home opener against the Dolphins, which is the first game of the season. Their home game versus the Broncos, which is the week before their bye. And then their home closer against the Jets. I think those are the three games that I feel extremely confident the Patriots are going to come away with a W. On the other side of that, I see six games as being locks for them to lose, where, again, any given Sunday, maybe they come out with a victory, but I think their chances of losing are way greater than their chances of winning. And that's at Seattle, at Kansas City. I mean, if there's ever a lock for a loss, I think at Kansas City is one of them. The game at home against the San Francisco 49ers. Now, that game is after the bye week, and there are some statistical historical information where Belichick teams usually do pretty well after that bye week. So that game might be more of a tweener game, but I think the Niners, their roster and the strength of their roster is just that much greater than what the Patriots are currently. At Buffalo, home against the Ravens, and at Miami. And of course, at Miami, I mean, if Tom Brady was having trouble beating the Dolphins at Miami, I don't see Jared Stidham being able to improve upon that particular aspect of the team. Who knows? There's something magical about that Miami air. The Patriots just don't like playing in Miami. and that was even before Tom Brady. I mean, I remember the Orange Bowl curse. Never mind in recent years with the Patriots. But you know, so as I look at that, and I see the Patriots going 6-10. That's with a plus minus, right? I've given them basically a plus minus of 3. But there are really, you know, 6 other games in there that I see that could go either way. They could win or lose. I see it as being almost equal, where I could sure come out and say strong that they're going to win, or I could come out just as strong and say that they're going to lose. I think their chances are equal there. So there is a chance where I think the Patriots could easily end up winning this division at 10-6, but just as easily finish the season at 3-13 with that plus minus of 3 there on a 6-10 season. And now you can sort of see exactly where that parity is in the NFL. If there's one thing that I truly agree with this ESPN FPI, is that from team number 5 is the Cowboys, and they're projected at 9.3 victories, all the way to team 24, which is the Texans, at 7.6. Now, I went to Emerson College, so my math isn't great, but that's still within 2 games. And you can see, if you give yourself a plus minus of 2, how that can easily flip-flop. It also is, like, this is the NFL's dream. This is what they've been looking for all these years. This is parity. Team 5 to team 25, you're talking about a 2-game difference? How amazing. And just take that a step further, the Jets at 25 are actually at 6.8 wins. The Jags are the last place team at 32 at 4.9. I mean, and now you can see the Patriots, if the Patriots were to get all the games to go against their favor, that I mentioned before, and they're at 3 wins, well, that's the first pick in the draft. And so I do think that this is a year where you're going to see a 4 or 5 win team as the worst, quote unquote, worst team in the NFL getting that number one pick. And that's not necessarily tanking for Lawrence.
I'm glad you went there about tanking for Trevor, losing for Lawrence. Look, I've been very vocal here on the airwaves at Locked On Patriots. I do not believe it's in the Patriots' DNA to tank. Bill Belichick won't allow it. I don't think Robert Kraft would allow it. I don't think the players in the locker room would allow it. There's still a lot of prideful players here, so I'm glad that you mentioned tanking, because if the Patriots do finish subpar this season, it's not going to be because of a tank. It's going to be simply because they just had stiffer competition on the schedule, and you've laid out some amazing metrics to support that. And look, the games against the Ravens, against the Chiefs, these are going to be very tough games for the Patriots to win. They were unwinnable last year with Tom Brady under center. It's certainly not going to get any easier. Earlier in our discussion, you mentioned the Buffalo Bills. I happen to be right there with you. In fact, our colleague here at the Locked On Network, Joe Marino, who hosts Locked On Bills, can tell you I have somewhat of a following in Buffalo. They kind of like what I have to say about their football team and some of the praise that I heap on them, but look, it's well-deserved. I love the addition of Stephon Diggs, and previously you mentioned about him overthrowing receivers. I think that solves that problem. The defense is still very stout. I think they have a great running game, and I think they have pass catchers that are going to be able to match that intensity brought by the running game. So, again, the Bills are going to be tough. The Dolphins are going to be tougher this year. They prove that they can hang with the Patriots. They came in and beat them in Gillette last year. So I definitely don't differ with you in terms of the degree of difficulty in the Patriots' schedule and the fact that a 6-10 season, or maybe even below that, could be just as likely. I believe the Patriots are going to do what they usually do, and that's find ways to win. Maybe I'm overly optimistic, but this team has a knack for doing that. Until proven otherwise, I'm going to give the hoodie and company the benefit of the doubt. But another point that you made very well, Jay, and I did want to expound upon that, was the fact that we may not be looking at an 0-16 or a 1-15 team getting that first round pick. It's very possible, when you look at the schedules all across the NFL, and I think you've done a phenomenal job of doing that, that the worst team in the league this year might be in that 4, 5, even 6 win category. So if that indeed is the case, Patriots may be in a better position for high draft capital than we originally thought, and like you said, it doesn't involve tanking for Trevor. That being said, Jay, I still don't see this team finishing at the bottom. I just think they have too much talent on the roster, especially on the defensive side of the ball, because I think that defense is talented enough to give you a chance to win some of those, quote, unwinnable games. Once again, your metrics paint an interesting picture, and if the Patriots struggle right out of the gate, it might be very tough for a team like this to be able to play catch-up. And as I said to open the segment, that might mean a more difficult season in Foxborough than a lot of us fans and Patriots media want to acknowledge could be on the horizon.
So I know, folks, I know he's taking us on the dark side, but he is taking us on the realistic side as well. And that's why we had him here. His wisdom and counsel is definitely needed when it comes to the New England Patriots and it comes to their prognosis for 2020.
Jay, it's always a pleasure to talk football metrics with you, but I think we'd all be kidding ourselves if we said that the biggest difference in Foxborough this year is going to be who's taking snaps under center. Jarrett Stidham is now the guy. All of you listening out there, how does that make you feel? You know I'm proud to stand on the Stidham stump, but where does the Pod Vader stand on all this? In just a moment, Jay Soderberg and I will discuss the Patriots quarterback position, specifically when it comes to Jarrett Stidham, and why there's cause for optimism and pessimism for the upcoming 2020 NFL season. All this and more when the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. Patriots fans, the Pod Vader's seat has been very hot today, and it's about to get a little hotter because we're going to talk some quarterbacks. Specifically, and by all indications, the next main man, Jarrett Stidham. Now, Jay, I'm from the school that happens to believe that the Patriots did the right thing here. They knew what they had in Jarrett. With Tom Brady's departure, it's probably best to see what the kid has got, give him a legitimate chance to become the starter on this team, and maybe even lead this team for many years to come. That being said, I'm definitely not delusional enough to think he's going to come in and equal Tom Brady. It's just simply not going to happen. But as I said last week when Mark Schofield joined me here on Locked On Patriots, a lot of the fan base seems to be rallying around Jarrett, and that's a good thing. But based on some of the points that you've been making today, I think the argument can be made that maybe it's filling some of Patriots Nation with a little bit of false hope. Zach Blackerby, who's been my guest here on Locked On Patriots a couple of times, hosts Locked On Auburn on our network, as you very well know. And we've talked about Jarrett. He's been very vocal about his strengths, but he's also been vocal about some of the deficiencies that he has in his game. One of the ones that bothers me the most is his ability to make quick decisions. That's something Tom Brady did so well, and my sincere hope is that fans don't get on Jarrett too quickly for not being able to do what Tom has always done, and that's get rid of the ball quickly and minimize turnovers. When you look at Jarrett Stidham, Jay, what gives you optimism that he can be the guy to lead this team, and what in his game or just his makeup leads you to believe that it could end up being a long season in Foxborough with Jarrett under center?
Yeah, you sort of took the cart and put it before my horse, but I will put the horse back in front of the cart. And the things that I find really optimistic about Jarrett Stidham and also pessimistic about Jarrett Stidham are the quarterbacks that Bill Belichick has drafted over his course of time with the Patriots. And it starts with Tom Brady. Then it's Rohan Davey, Cliff Kingsbury, Matt Cassel, Kevin O'Connell, Zach Robinson, Ryan Mallett, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett, Danny Etling, and now Jarrett Stidham. That doesn't include Brian Hoyer and Matt Gutierrez, who were undrafted quarterbacks on this team, and I'm sure there's a couple of others that are escaping me right now. But the one thing, with a few exceptions in that list of quarterbacks, that they all have in common is in their rookie scouting reports, they all were touted as smart quarterbacks, intelligent quarterbacks, and accurate quarterbacks, guys that could throw on a dime. And those are things that Jarrett Stidham definitely showcases as a quarterback in the National Football League. Now, we did get to see Jarrett Stidham play a little bit in the preseason of his rookie season. And quite honestly, he looked like a rookie quarterback trying to get accustomed to the speed of the game against other backups for the other teams that were on the field at that time. He did okay. He had some pretty, I think if you look at his actual numbers, the numbers will look gaudy, but you have to remember the level of competition that he was playing against in those preseason games was also not starter level NFL player. So I think there is some optimism when it comes to Jarrett Stidham and how well he can play. No, he's not going to be the next Tom Brady, but when I list those other quarterbacks, Matt Cassel, I think he very well could be a Matt Cassel type. And Matt Cassel, yes, he had a much different roster than what Jarrett Stidham has got behind him. Matt Cassel did lead this team to an 11-5 record and missed the playoffs, only the second team to do so. And they just changed the playoff structure, so that's never going to happen again. I think there's a good chance that Jarrett Stidham is that type of quarterback. And it's not one that we've been accustomed to the last 20 years because we've had the GOAT, but it is a quarterback that is, I hate using the phrase, but it really fits, that is good enough to win enough games. And I do think that the strength of this team lies in their defense. This is one of those things where we're going back to that old, we're going to let our defense play strong. We're going to put our quarterback in a position to succeed as best as he can, but we're not going to put him in a position where he necessarily has to go out and win us the game.
Great points. All great points. And again, you mentioned Jared, and I'll get back to Jared's strengths and weaknesses in a moment, in my opinion, on what he's going to be able to do. I completely agree with you on this team focusing on the defense, making that their bread and butter, that their primary strength, using the defense to shut down opposing teams, having an efficient enough offense to be able to move the ball, put points on the board, but ultimately it's going to be in the hands of the defense and also the special teams. I think a lot of people forget that they've made some great additions on special teams this year. Adrian Phillips is a guy that I covered when I covered the Chargers a few years ago, and I was really happy to see him arrive in New England because I know the value that he can bring, that type of chameleon-type player that is just all over the field on defense and the ability to contribute on special teams, I think could make him valuable this year. Justin Bethel, you have to assume that he'll probably be in the mix. We hope he's going to be in the mix. I really like what he brought to the special teams last year. Of course, the captain, Matthew Slater, as long as he's back there with special teams, you know they're always going to be in the right place at the right time. But that's going to be the strength of this team, and I agree with you on that. When it comes to Jarrett, I've had the opportunity to watch this kid in practice a little bit during preseason, albeit, Jay, the sample size is very small. But he can step up and make the throws when he has the time. He can put it on a dime. This kid's accuracy is definitely not his issue. It's decision-making. It's when he doesn't have the time to be able to sit back in the pocket, decide what he wants to do, and then do it, it can lead to difficulties. And I don't just mean throwing the ball with interceptions. We've seen instances where he's tried to extend plays with his legs, and Zach really brought this to my attention very much so when we talked with the crossover with Locked On Auburn, is he'll try to make plays or extend plays with his legs, and sometimes that's ill-timed or maybe ill-advised, and it can lead to some fumble issues or difficulties. That's when Jarrett Stidham struggles. So that's a concern of mine. Again, to pull it all back and pull it all full circle, that's why I think the offensive line being stout is such a key part of the team being able to succeed or not this year. So, Pod Vader,
and,
what can
and
I say?
And as we've discussed, it doesn't necessarily instill confidence as it is currently constituted.
It is a very, very good point. It pains me to say it's a good point, but it's a good point. No, I'm kidding, folks. It doesn't pain me. The man is not only my fearless leader, he makes a mean damn argument. And ultimately, you know, you may end up being on the dark side. You may end up, the Empire may strike back this year, Pod Vader, and we might see some of that difficulty that a lot of people are prognosticating. And look, folks, I want to put this out there. Jay is in no way hoping that the dark side happens. He wants to be wrong. He wants to be wrong. But ultimately, he errs on the side of caution and realism, and I give him credit for doing that. It's not easy for a Patriots fan or someone that covers the team to be able to do it. He does it without fear, and he does it with reason, and I give him a lot of credit for it. So
I lived Pod Vader, through the pre-Bledsoe years.
All right. He did. He absolutely did, as did I. I was a little bit on the young side to remember some of those days. But on the same token, we do remember when this team was not a foregone conclusion for the playoffs every year. And
remember
perhaps
you, Millen?
We're going back to that.
Let's put it this way. We're not talking about you, Millen, as our quarterback.
No, absolutely. We're definitely not. And the 1-15 days of, let's hope those days are not arriving again, Pod Vader. We want to go to the dark side, but not quite that dark. Folks, he is Jay Soderberg. He is the real Pod Vader. And again, he is the executive producer behind the great content that you hear here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I always enjoy talking Patriots with him. I always enjoy when he's able to come and join me on the microphone. We've had a couple of opportunities. And you know we're going to have you back here again to either praise you or maybe give you some much needed ribbing if the Patriots are a little better than you hoped. But ultimately, it'll be good to see football on the field this year. I think we can both agree on that. And I thank you for bringing your point of view, a much needed point of view here on Locked On Patriots.
Well, listen, Mike, I expect that ribbing is going to come at the bye week, because as I look at my game by game predictions, I actually see the Patriots starting the season off at 3-2. The problem is the last half of the season, there's only three more victories that I foresee.
Well, and that is something that we will definitely take under advisement, because I think 3-2 is a little bit too small of a sample to either declare you right on the money or declare you dead in the water. Now, if the Patriots struggle and they come out and they're 0-5 when it comes to that, then we'll give you your much needed kudos and we'll throw the bouquets of flowers at your feet. However, if the Patriots are a little bit better than that 3-2 or at 3-2, I think we're going to need a larger sample size before we can declare you wrong. So I will take that under advisement, my friend, and I will be sure not to jump the gun when it comes to the Patriots prognosis, because there's a lot of football left after that point. And again, the strength of their schedule lies beyond that. So good stuff as always, and I thank you for joining me today, providing the great content that you always do. Go Pats, and we'll see what they have in store for us this year in 2020.
Go Pats!
And so, Patriots fans, I hope that you have enjoyed your walk through the dark side. I promise, folks, that's the last Darth Vader impression that I will do for quite a while. At least until the Pod Vader himself makes another appearance here on Locked On Patriots, but that's a conversation for another day. But the walk on the dark side that we've taken for the last couple of days here on Locked On Patriots might have you feel a little less optimistic about the Patriots' chances than you did oh so at the beginning of the week, or even last weekend. Well, remember, folks, here on Locked On Patriots, we're all about the positivity. You need a little levity, a little light from the dark, a new hope, so to speak. And I know you Star Wars fans picked up on that one. But when all hope is lost, we turn to green wisdom and counsel to bring us out of the doldrums. No, folks, I'm not talking about Yoda. I'm not even talking about baby Yoda. I'm talking about massive amounts of green wisdom and counsel. That's right, making his weekly appearance here on Locked On Patriots, my main man, the Count of Murphy Fisto. Thomas Murphy will join me tomorrow here on the hot seat, and we'll talk about the Patriots' schedule, what he feels to be the Patriots' biggest strengths this year, and whether the prognostications of doom for your New England Patriots might be just a little premature. Or are they? I'm not going to speak for Murph. I'm going to let him do the talking. So if you're in the mood for a new hope, folks, be sure not to miss tomorrow's episode of Locked On Patriots or any episode of Locked On Patriots. And you can do so by following us on Spotify, subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget, you can always listen to Locked On Patriots right on your very own smart device. How do you do that? Very simple. Just ask it to play the latest episode of Locked On Patriots. Once again, I'm Mike DeBate. For not just one, but 2 days, I thank Jay Soderberg for his time, his insight, and his appearance on the pod this week. But most of all, I thank you all so much for listening and for staying locked into Locked On Patriots. Stay safe, stay well, don't be silent, don't be compliant, be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone.